Welcome to Taboo and Turn On. I'm your host, Natalie Bartanian, and this is a podcast where we have real talk about real things, where we shed light on taboo topics and explore what it truly means to live a turned on life. I'm so glad you've joined, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Music by bensound.com. I am definitely not one to record disclaimers for podcast episodes because I really feel that you will take from this what you will. And at the same time, this is a conversation around a topic that is very, very sensitive and very tender to a lot of people. And it has a tendency to bring up a lot of protection and victim energy and blame and shame and guilt. And so this is a reminder that this is just a conversation. It really is an attempt to start a conversation around something that needs to be seen from multiple angles and to have a lot of compassion brought into the space. It is not a place where we are saying we know anything definitively or are teaching anything or saying anything is right or wrong. It really is an exploration, and more than anything, probably from a place of how do we change this? How do we have different here? So I hope you're able to listen to this conversation truly with an open mind and an open heart. So today I have with me a dear friend, and I know I say dear friend all the time. It's because I really only bring my friends on to this podcast. I have a dear friend, Jennifer Underwood, and Jen, do you want me to call you Jen or Jennifer? I just realized I didn't clear this with you.
Yeah, Jen is good.
Okay, Jen is good. Jen for me, Jennifer for all of you. Jen and I met at a workshop a few years ago now, I think a year and a half ago now, that they do really deep, amazing healing work, and I'll put links in the show notes. But we just fast became friends because we're deep, deep healers and deep, deep feelers. And recently, with all of this kind of public movement around the Me Too campaign, Jen decided that she wanted to kind of throw in her kind of perspective around this, which I think is a valuable one that isn't being talked about around this whole conversation. And so thank you, Jen, for being kind of brave and vulnerable enough to want to even touch this conversation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what did spark you to want to talk about this?
I think that, like, when everything first started popping up and everyone was sharing their stories of sexual assault, in my friend group, I had a lot of guys asking a lot of really valuable questions, I felt like, about, you know, like how sexual assaults are perceived, and also the ways in which questioning how they are complicit or implicit, and also like times where there was confusion based off of the other person's actions. And it really hit home for me because I think like one of the things that was really present for me is being aware of how up until a couple years ago, I feel like I really played into some of my own sexual assaults that happened in my life, and the ways in which I was used by men, because there was a part of that Like, I almost, like, I don't, it definitely, like, not brought it upon myself, but I just, like, expected to be used and assaulted, and at times put myself in situations or acted in ways to maybe encourage that, or like have it happen like on my own terms in some weird ways. And so it's, I've been exploring like what that means and how we all interact with this topic in a way that is hard and meaningful to look at, in the way that all of our defenses come up.
Yeah, because I see how this is such a tricky territory to navigate when we're wanting to say, okay, we want everyone to take responsibility and look at your part in the equation, but yet how do you do that without putting blame and shaming and also being real about what's happening? And then also knowing that there isn't really honest communication here, because sometimes we don't even know what's happening. And I think that was the part that really stuck out for me when you first approached me with wanting to have this conversation on more of a public platform of, oh my God, it's true. Like, there's so many things that we as human beings do that we don't even realize the motivations behind them, even if we have the most kind of pure conscious intention around it. Like, sometimes things are running us that we don't realize are, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that was definitely the case for me. When I started doing a lot of my own inner healing and personal work, one of the first things that came up for me with my relationships with men was a realization that that up until that point, like, I had sexualized essentially like every friendship I ever had, because I was like, that was my way to control it. Like, because there was this, like, subconsciously, I expected that, like, any man that I let get close to me would eventually, attempt to use me for my body. And so if I brought it there first, it wouldn't surprise me or hurt me maybe as much, like, because I was like expecting it. There was like all of these weird nuances that I realized that I was acting out from childhood sexual traumas with every man in my life, and I was completely unaware of it until that point.
Right, and I think this is the tricky part, because I can definitely relate to that, and it's funny, for I think there's a part of me that hasn't wanted to be a part of this conversation because I haven't experienced acute sexual assault. I've experienced harassment. I've experienced the catcalling. I've experienced the, you know, walking home one day as a junior high kid and a creeper, like, you know, following me and masturbating in the car and wanting me to see it, right? Like, but I've never had an actual physical experience. And so I know I've definitely shied away from this conversation because of it. But I can definitely relate to what you're saying around, there's a way that I felt like it was a very healthy, empowered thing to put situations with men in a sexual space and not even give it a chance to have a friendship or a platonic space. I thought that was a very healthy thing. Like, I'm an empowered sexual woman. I could do what I want, and I get to choose who I have sex with, and I get to decide how this goes down. But again, it was totally survival stuff though, right? It was like defense mechanisms. It was a way to, like you said, put it into a certain category and feel like at least if I have choice around it, like like it's different, if it will feel different.
Yeah, like if it's going to happen regardless, I want a little bit of say in the matter.
Right.
And I think this is where like this conversation gets, I mean, it's so hard and it's so difficult because there is something really healthy and empowered about being in charge of our,
yes,
of our sexuality, yeah, and expressing things. And I think with everything, it's so important to like honor that, like in the action itself, like there can be healthy motivations behind it. And there can, like there can be shadow motivations.
Yes.
And that does, I mean, it does, it feels different. Like when someone's coming at it from a healthy place versus when someone's coming at it from an unhealthy place, that it's not, like opening up this conversation doesn't mean that it's a criticism of like the actions themselves. It's more of a like, really looking at why we do some of the things that we do and owning that, that those pieces of it, that it's sometimes we, you know, on both sides, we all play into this, incredibly entrenched, I just feel like it's like a, like it's woven into the fabric of our society, this, sexism and therefore, constant stories of sexual assault.
Yeah. And this place of, you know, and it kind of does get tricky because we all, I think, get caught up in this place of who's the victim and who's the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, we're all victims and we're all perpetrators. And
yeah, absolutely.
And that's a hard truth for a lot of people. Like you're saying, you know, this place that you're wanting to take some responsibility. And it still doesn't mean that that makes it okay. Like it is not okay to be sexually assaulted. Like, let's just make that very clear, everyone, right? Like there is nothing okay about any of this. And in order to change a dynamic, though, unless we have these hard conversations and have hard truths addressed, like it's still going to keep happening.
Absolutely. And I think that like there's never and nowhere it's this really interesting conversation because I feel like as we open this up, there's a place where a lot of people want to kind of go into like, you know, like don't blame the victim, which absolutely. And it's never okay to be sexually assaulted. I've been sexually assaulted more times than I can count in my life. And it's never okay to be sexually assaulted. You're never asking for it. There's nothing, there's never a place where like that's, excusable. And, if we don't open up the like conversation about the ways that that masculinity is can be so toxic and play into this, but also that the wounds that we carry as women and the way that we deal with them can also be so toxic and can also play into this dynamic. I feel like if we don't open up that conversation, then nothing's going to change. And it's also then really hard for us all to have compassion and avoid victim blaming that seems to consistently happen anytime that sexual assault does come up.
Yeah, and it makes me think of this conversation I had with a guy friend recently, and it was very much things that I had been thinking about myself around, and like it really must be hard for a guy these days to, from one woman hear that they want them to pursue them, and they want them to make the moves, and they want them to lead, and they want them to take all of that responsibility. But then also, on the other hand, you know, to have the kind of fear of, oh my God, am I going too far? And is this going to push it? Or is this going to have me be perceived as aggressive and, you know, a predator and all of that stuff of, like, you know, I just kind of see the place where men can also be like deers in headlights and don't know what to do, right? Because there is, in some ways, not to say that we're giving them mixed messages, but maybe we are.
I mean, there's a possibility, you know, like maybe we are, and it is hard. I think it's really hard to be a man of integrity, and like out dating and interacting in the world, and like really, there's a place where it's so easy to overthink it and like worry, and for good reason, you know, because I think one of the things that has come up really strongly for me around this topic is like, as I think so often as women, we have a hard time sitting with how things act, like actually like fully recognizing how things feel and then responding from a like an open and honest place around it. You know, like, does that feel aggressive? And if it does, can you say that? And that absolutely, it's tough because like if you've been a victim of sexual assault, sometimes you're not able to.
Oh yeah, and, it must be terrifying to just like, think like even me saying something might bring something on, or I'm putting myself in danger even by speaking up.
Right. And so, and that's a very real, I mean, that's a very real thing. Like, and so women will not say anything, and then, and, you know, and maybe even, I mean, aren't so many other defenses can come up around like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll play into it, or I'll make a joke about it, or, you know, I'll, you know, like, or I'll freeze and go silent, and, or I'll smile and, you know, like just try and get that person to, you know, like me that I, when they actually feel like they're assaulting me. We have so many defenses around this. And I feel like, you know, we need to have this, like these conversations around, recognizing them, for our own sake. And then also for the sake of like the men who are like, I don't know how to deal with this. Like, what is a defense? What, you know, are you okay with it? Why are you not okay with it? Like, how do we call ourselves out in those moments? And how do we empower the men around us who want to be in integrity to like, you know, to know that, and know where boundaries are.
Well, and I think that part to me is always a fascinating question too, around anything, relationships, sex. It's, yeah, to have the boundary conversation usually is the hardest part, but the most necessary part of the whole thing, you know, and even when it comes to sex, I've heard a lot of people say this around, oh no, we don't talk about that because that would like kill it, like kill the sexy vibes or something, like to actually talk about this stuff, right? To talk about safe sex, to talk about what I like and don't like, to talk about what's okay and not okay, to talk about consent, right? Like the mere act of speaking these things is considered just the unsexiest thing in the world. And I'm like, wow, but what's the alternative, right?
Well, and I mean, I get it, right? Like it seems super unsexy at first because it's awkward and it's vulnerable. And vulnerability feels terrifying. And generally speaking, terror does not feel sexy, you know, and so that makes sense. But as we practice that, I think that we can open up a place where it actually does become sexy, where boundaries can be sexy. Like being able to,
Oh shit. Is that our new hashtag? Hashtag yeah. Boundaries are sexy.
Boundaries can be sexy.
I mean, they can, because intimacy can be sexy.
Right. Vulnerability
and
can
truth
be sexy.
Can be sexy.
Totally. Totally. You have to push through the awkwardness, but what's on the other side is a potential for like just amazing intimacy and vulnerability. That's so sexy. That's such a turn on. I think that that's possible if we can push through the uncomfortable conversations.
I mean, I think that that's all of it, right? This place that we don't want to talk about these things. And I get it. And again, you know, want to make that very clear. It's not like I'm sitting over here saying, why doesn't everyone talk about these very challenging conversations? You know, I've definitely had to live through a lot of, and still do, very challenging conversations. But I think I'm coming at it a little bit more from the other side of, I've been intentionally practicing having hard, challenging conversations for the last 10 plus years, and it does get easier. It doesn't mean it gets easy, period, but it does. It's like any muscle. Like, the more I have them, the more I feel powerful, the more I feel at choice, the more I feel like I'm, you know, kind of dictating the future of my relationships. And in some ways, we do decide how intimate, you know, things are going to be with people.
I mean, I think that that's like something in what you just said, you know, that's the line where like the difference between healthy and just like unhealthy behavior, right? Is for so long, I interacted with men from this space of like, okay, I know you're going to use me. So like, I'm going to make a joke out of it, or I'm going to be overly sexy. Cause that way, like, you know, things are happening on my terms, on my timeline. Or, you know, like, or I'm going to completely shut things down and like have nothing to do with you because I feel like I can't navigate a boundaries conversation or whatever it was. And I have 100 defenses. I think we all do. And those are the ways that I felt like I was in control. But real control and real power actually comes from the super tough conversations. That are, you know, oftentimes they're painful, they're hard. In this conversation right now, it's hard. And if we don't have them, like, there's no room for movement or growth or coming to a place of healthiness in the ways that we, you know, interact in the world and with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for making that delineation between, again, the action is one thing, but your motivation is another thing, right? The, is this coming from a healthy place, or is this coming from kind of a defensive place? Because I'm just thinking again about what you were saying about, you know, we have 100 defenses, and the place where we will diminish or minimize things. I think you had mentioned that to me before the call, right? Like, all of these ways that we as women don't want to kind of even bring this topic up because it's so painful, right? To talk about it, to be in the feelings around it. And so we will be like, oh, that wasn't a big deal, or or we'll make a joke, or we'll just kind of shrug it off instead of being in it and with it.
Right. I mean, like, you know, there's so many examples I can give you, but, you know, I'm thinking of one in particular where, you know, looking back from the place that I'm at now, you know, I see a scared young 19-year-old girl who, you know, I went back with some friends to a guy's house after meeting him at a bar and finally said yes after saying no probably 50 times, because it was like, how much, you know, like, where is this going to go if I don't, right? Like, is it going to get scary? And ended up having sex with someone I didn't want to have sex with. And how afterward, that became like a fun story among my friends that we often told. Remember that time that we all went up to Canada and we like got super drunk and ended up back at that guy's house in the hot tub? Because there's a place of where we so often will try to diminish what happened. Because it's hard to sit with. You know, it's hard to really like dive in and do the work around these traumas. And so sometimes we can make a joke of it or make it seem like it's not a big deal. And unfortunately, I mean, this is where things get tough when we do that, you know, like how are the men in our life supposed to know the difference between what is actually funny and what's not, you know, like how are they supposed to know the difference between, what we actually think is, I don't know, sexy or flattering, and what is kind of, you know, not, if we can't unpack some of our own stuff and then start to bring that out to the light and have these conversations and say, like, yeah, that was actually not okay. You know, in the moment when things happen or even after the moment, sometimes it's, you know, you go back maybe a day later, especially with friends, I think we can do that. Like, but if so often we're not even conscious of it ourselves, of like all the ways that our defenses come up to try and keep us safe, essentially, from like the constant trauma of being a woman in this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is this kind of flip side compassion that I've had for men over the last few years of like all of the messaging. It's like there's all this messaging that women get around patriarchy and kind of being the lesser gender, and, you know, just you just go along with whatever's happening and don't have a voice and all that. And then there's all these messages that men get, right, around don't have feelings, you know, having emotions means you're a pussy, and you keep your shit together and you be strong, and, you know, that being aggressive is a kind of value to have. And so it's like just in the ways that we're training women to be silent, we kind of are training men to be robots and to not care, right? And to just barrel through situations. And I have way more compassion for men in that place of like they're fucked if they do and they're fucked if they don't in some ways. And same thing for women, right? You're fucked if you speak up and you're fucked if you don't, right? And right. So there is compassion to be had here for this messy ass kind of environment that's been created over centuries now. I don't know.
I think that this is the place where it's hardest. This is actually like, and it's the most important. My hope is that by starting to have some of these tough conversations, that we do bring more compassion in.
Yeah.
And it is really hard to have compassion for any of it, I feel like, honestly. Like, it's really hard. It's hard to have compassion for men when you are, particularly when you're a woman who's been assaulted, and it's hard to hear.
Oh, yeah, for
that,
sure.
It's really hard to hear that you should. Like,
right.
Like, that's a tough pill to swallow. You know, it's hard oftentimes, I think, for men, and it's hard for women. It's hard for women to have compassion for other women who are, you know, like, engaging in behaviors that are unhealthy, and oftentimes sending mixed messages because they are engaging in behaviors that are unhealthy. And oftentimes it's a lot of judgment there. And that's an easy place to go to, is the judgment and the anger, the like righteous anger. And it fixes nothing.
Right.
And it doesn't open up any conversation, and nobody learns anything from it, and it fixes nothing. And so I think the place to lean into is a place of compassion. As hard as it is, if we don't start from that place, no one's ever going to feel safe enough to have the tough conversations and learn the things that they need to learn. And to start to actually like shift this like insanely entrenched pattern that we have around sexual assault and the shame that lies on both sides from it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is where I always go to this place, and it's totally the fixer in me. And I know that a lot of times that is so not useful. Right? Because in these situations, compassion really is about just being with, right? Just being with, kind of getting how challenging it is to get that there's feelings and pain and all of that. And also just understanding, right? And acceptance. And so I also have been kind of challenged in this place too, to be like, how do we fucking fix this? Like, you know, what do we need to fix on the men's side? And what do we need to fix on the women's side? And I think, I mean, I am going to put a link to that documentary that I watched about men a while ago, because I think it does, though, kind of help with this compassion piece of, you know, in a lot of ways, sex is so, kind of stripped of all of its emotion in the way that it's presented to all of us, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Like, look at all these, like, half-naked pictures all over the place and porn and this and that, right? So, like, people have become desensitized to sex. Like, we don't really get the full impact emotionally that sex has on all of us.
Yeah.
And how do we change that, right? And so, like, that's also another part of the conversation of, like, sex isn't seen as sacred. Sex isn't seen as intimate. Sex isn't seen as emotional, right? It's just something you do. What the fuck is the big deal?
Right. And, you know, and that's our right as 21st century women to, like, own our sex.
Yeah.
And go out and do. And it is. And, like, and again, like, it is. And, like, and it is emotional, and it does have an impact, and it is a powerful, powerful weapon that we often use against each other and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm just getting this place of, this feels like a place to start kind of bringing the conversation to a close, knowing that it's not anything that's going to be wrapped up in a bow, right? You know, that right. it's, you know, this invitation for anyone that's listening and hopefully can share this conversation is it really is a place to open up more dialogue, that this is a place where the invitation is to come to a place of understanding and compassion, to see our parts so that we can actually have different around this.
Yeah. How do we have these conversations? And then how do we make it safe to have them?
Right.
Without making people wrong? And how do we have compassion for all of the pieces and all of the difficulties within this very needed conversation that's going on around sexual assault?
Yeah, and I think my wish for this, because I get the importance of why this was started, because again, awareness, right? Because if there's this whole culture thinking that, you know, sex is something that's just kind of an action and it's we're all desensitized to it, and that we aren't seeing this side where, no, there's a shadow side to sex that needs to be brought to the light. Like, it does have an impact, and a very painful, negative impact a lot of the times on women and men. Like, there are obviously also men, but just the numbers of women being assaulted is just ridiculous. But just to kind of bring awareness to, again, what's actually happening here right now, not what's happening on the media and not what's happening in magazines and not what's happening as depicted by porn, right? But the reality of the situation. So we can then kind of, again, like, let's all be honest and create spaces where we can have that honesty in a really, like you said, safe and compassionate and accepting space.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope this conversation starts to open some of that up and create more conversations.
Yeah, me too. So I thank you again for being willing to want to even have this conversation in the first place, Jen. I get the ramifications that may seem like it could have on you, on your right. thoughts around this topic, on, you know, just especially because it is a very kind of volatile environment in a lot of ways. Like, we don't know what is going to set anything off. And so, yeah, thank you again for being willing to have the conversation, and also for wanting to bring compassion and awareness to this conversation that I don't think is being had in the space.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing it on. It's definitely edgy, you know, and scary to talk about, but it has to start somewhere, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. And so, everyone, if you want to find out more about Jennifer Underwood, she's a writer, she's a coach, she's a public speaker, she's very passionate about creating change in the world and having us look at the ways that we can impact that change, but from our being, our who we are, and not what we do necessarily. So you can find her at jenniferlunderwood.com. She also is on Facebook, facebook.com/JenniferUnderwoodWriter, and I'll again have all these in the show notes. So thanks again, Jen. I love you very much.
I love you too.
Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of Taboo and Turn On. I just really feel grateful for those of you who continue to have an open mind and an open heart around challenging conversations and challenging topics. I really, really believe we can't have turn on. We can't have a free, open, safe world unless we are willing to look at the shadow side of things, the taboo parts of everything. So thank you again for tuning in, and If you have a chance, if you could leave a rating or review on iTunes, that would be amazing. And also, if you want to find previous episodes, apparently iTunes is doing something weird and it only shows the last 8 or 9 episodes. I know, annoying. But you can always go to tabooandturnon.com and the whole library of episodes can be found there. Thanks again, and until next time.